Welcome back to Hit It Here Talk. Today I'm joined by new top 30 prospect, Mariner pitching prospect, Jimmy Joyce. Thank you for joining Hit It Here Talk today.
Of course.
Okay, so when kind of looking back and doing some research on your athletic background, you played a few different sports aside from baseball. What kind of got you into baseball? What takes back to the early days of Jimmy Joyce?
I think I always was attracted to sports as a kid. I remember my first sport I played was soccer, actually, and I was like five probably. But between that, football, basketball, and baseball, I think I just fell in love with baseball the earliest and kind of realized at an early age that that's what I wanted to do.
So when the Mariners took you in the 16th round in 2021, did you know that you had a chance to be like one of the first players to debut in the MLB from Hofstra, dating back to, I think, 1970?
Yeah, I didn't even think about that, to be honest. I knew there were only I think, three draft picks aside from me in my 4 years there. And I had never even thought of that, to be honest. But
yeah, I mean, it's crazy because you're knocking on the door right now. And the last one, I think, it looks like I wrote down, was Ken Singleton all the way back in 1970, which is nuts. You would think there would have been at least somebody else in like the early 90s or something like that.
Yeah, I guess not.
It's nuts. So kind of moving right ahead even more, after being drafted, well, let's touch on it. How did it feel being drafted?
It was one of the best feelings. Like, to be honest, I thought it was like 50-50. I wasn't sure if I was going to get picked up or not. And the day it happened, I'll never forget who I was with, where I was, and just seemed like I took a big step in the right direction to where I wanted to go.
Did you kind of have an idea? Did you meet with any scouts or any teams or anything like that before?
I didn't really meet with anyone. I had only talked to a few teams, maybe like four or five, and nothing was definite. There wasn't like an overload of interest in me. So I kind of just, I wasn't sure of the whole process, you know?
And to just pick up your life and basically go all the way across the country, that's just crazy. I mean, you're living the dream, but at the same point, it's almost like your whole life gets uprooted and you're in a completely different, you obviously didn't go to Seattle right away, but you went to Arizona, and that's a little bit different.
Yeah, I mean, Arizona and Seattle, both extremely far from New York. So I experienced, like, just cultural shock, and it was just different, you know, being on my own for the first time. And I did struggle early on. It's something you definitely have to learn how to handle and how to do, you know.
Did you kind of meet anybody there who was kind of also going through the same thing as you and kind of helped you through that process?
Well, my first pro roommate was Peyton Alford, and we're still like great friends to this day, and we always try to be roommates when we can. But he was right there along with me. Like, we're living in the hotel our first short season, and just trying to navigate and figure it out together, which he was a huge help.
Yeah, I mean, it's also crazy to see both of you, I think, had your arguably best years yet this year, so got to be something about that room.
We push each other. We both know what we want, and it's a healthy relationship for sure.
Yeah, motivating. Iron sharpens iron, as they say.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just absolutely nuts being this year kind of started off a little bit different for you. You, I think it was a forearm strain or something held you back to begin with. And then you ended up going straight to Everett again, which was nice because you're familiar with the staff there and everything. Did you feel like you had a chance to get promoted to Arkansas, or did that kind of come as a shock to you?
I kind of had a feeling I was going to go back to Everett to start the year. You know, for whatever reason it was, but I just had a feeling I was going there. And once I started throwing well and I realized that the Arkansas like pitching staff was a little shorthanded, I started thinking about it, but you don't really want to start thinking about that stuff like when you're trying to, you know, produce.
Yeah, I mean, now you're one step away from the MLB. You've seen guys that you've played with, like Brian Wu, Bryce Miller, get promoted straight from Double A. Does that kind of change your mentality at all, or is it still kind of keep your head down and just go right at it and just stay focused on what you can control?
Yeah, it's always been like that. I mean, it is really cool to see Brian and Bryce go up there and, you know, produce and throw well. It just gives me that, like, that little extra feeling of, oh, you know, they're in my draft class, they're already up there. It's like, why can't I do that, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, this kind of goes towards that same point of just keeping your head down. Ever since I've known you, you've kind of been that even-keeled guy. Nothing really seems to faze you. Doesn't matter if it's like in-game or something like that. You have the runners at the corners or bases loaded. You just get out of it and you're just cool as ever. How important do you think that is as a trait that you have?
It's definitely important to be, like, you know, level-headed, and you don't want to react with the emotions of the game because that's when you lose sight of the goal and all that. But I think just let your, you know, let your work show. You don't have to be talking and all that to get to where you want to be.
And how important is that? For the tough thing about minor league baseball is you could start on a Tuesday and then you're facing that very same team on a Sunday. How do you not let a good start on a Tuesday impact you and, like, make you overconfident for Sunday, or vice versa, a bad start on Tuesday not impact you on Sunday?
Yeah, it can get tough, like, consistently facing the same hitters, but it's all about short-term memory. Like, whether it's good or bad, you just got to flush the last start and prepare for the next start. And for me, it's like, if I know I prepare well throughout the week, the confidence is there, and I don't have to think about all that stuff. Like, what's going to happen? It's just going to take care of itself.
I love that. Somebody who's drafted in the 16th round, let's take you through this whirlwind. All of a sudden, you're starting to gain that notoriety and recognition from, as I mentioned earlier, being now on the top 30 list for the Mariners. And then just a few weeks ago, or maybe about a month ago, getting recognized in Baseball America for the best, I believe it was curveball in the organization. How crazy is that? Just to see all your hard work paying off in real time.
Yeah, it's cool. Like I said before, I didn't even know if I was going to get drafted. I told a lot of the scouts that called me that I just wanted a chance because that's all I felt I really needed. Just give me an opportunity and I'm going to take it and run with it. You know, God bless. But it is cool. It's humbling too. You know, there's obviously a lot more work to be done. Just because, like, they nominated my curveball as the best in the org. That alone doesn't really, you know, mean anything. That doesn't for me. I want to keep producing and keep getting better and better and just do what I can at the end of it, you know, when all is said and done.
Is there anybody in the organization? I know you kind of mentioned Peyton Alford, but is there anybody whose path or story you kind of look up to as something you can relate to and you're kind of trying to follow, you know, somebody who also had that, was a lower draft pick, who's overcome adversity and is slowly climbing up the ranks?
Yeah, honestly, there's a bunch of guys, like a bunch of guys I hang out with. It's guys like Leon Hunter, Peyton Alford, Jared Bayless. Like, they all made great strides this year, and I feel like we all kind of, you know, came together and did it at the same time, which was cool. It's cool to see each other, like, chasing, you know, chasing each other and chasing progress. And you always love when your friends are, you know, doing great too. So that's a really cool feeling.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, it sucks being written off, but at the same point, it's a blessing in disguise because you can really work through everything and not get judged for it or not get docked too heavily by either the organization, by the fans, by the scouts. You're just working and you're showing that progress slowly but surely.
Yeah, that's all it is.
And we already kind of touched on who those players are that kind of helped you through your highs and lows. You mentioned Peyton Alford, so... Is there anybody else, or is it just kind of that group that you mentioned?
I mean, there's guys all over the org. Believe me, I could name off like 5 or 10 guys that have helped me, whether it's just from like observing them and watching something. I think it's like when I first got to Pro Bowl, I was like a sponge. Like, I just watched people and see what they did. And whether they're successful or not, like, you could pick up things and you can learn from anyone. But there's also a lot of coaches, like, in the Mariners organization that have really pushed me and helped me out through tough times, like Coach Pierpont, Matt Pierpont, who's now our coordinator. Like my first full year in Everett, you know, it was really shaky, a lot of ups and downs, and he was someone that believed in me. He was someone that, you know, gave me confidence and was like, let's get this train back on the tracks, you know.
Yeah, and for those who didn't see, that was 2022, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was honestly a pretty cool season to watch, just being there, working there at that time for me and seeing your growth. Because like you mentioned, it was kind of up and down, but towards the end, you really put it all together. And that was really cool to see it just all come together, and not just that, but carry into 2023 and hopefully 2024.
Yeah, that's the goal. Just keep getting better, like day in and day out. It's all I can control, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, something that just jumps off the board to me in terms of prospects and players as a whole, I've been meaning to ask this to somebody, but how crazy is it that you're basically never giving up that grind? Because it's like baseball year round. You're down in Arizona basically for 3+ months between spring training, off-season work, if you're one of those prospects, and then obviously traveling to affiliated ball. How crazy is it? How do you kind of balance that?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like I said, it's something to learn. Thankfully, I have like a great support group here and back home. More importantly, like my family is there every step of the way for me. They know exactly what I've always wanted to do, and they push me and they keep me like in line. But there's definitely a lot of sacrifices you have to make, and it's not easy for sure. Like, obviously being a big leaguer is, you know, it's a glorified life and all that, but all those guys sacrificed a lot to be where they are. So I think people lose sight of that too.
And I mean, it's also tougher when you're a lower round pick compared to like a first round pick or second round pick who actually kind of has that financial ability to go out, have some fun on the weekends. You really got to be smart about it. Sure, there's more pay in the minor leagues now, but it's still pretty tough. You got to be wise and diligent with what you do.
Yeah, for sure. Yep.
And you kind of touched on family and all that. Are you excited or kind of dreaming about the opportunity of maybe pitching back home? And if so, what team did you grow up watching, in what stadium, between Citi Field or Yankee Stadium, would you want to pitch in more?
I actually grew up a Yankee fan, but I think I went to more Mets games growing up just because it was closer and cheaper, and all my friends always wanted to go. But yeah, that's something I've always thought about, like one day, you know, God willing, that I get to pitch either one. I would be happy with both of them. I just can't wait for that day.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to not want to pitch at one of those historic stadiums, whether it be Fenway, it be Yankee Stadium, or it be Wrigley. That's kind of like up there on anybody who's dreamed of playing in the big leagues. That's up there on the top three.
Yeah, it's definitely up there. My dad, huge Yankees fan. Obviously now he's more of a Mariners fan, but I think that would be really cool to have my whole family there. I have a lot of family back home, and I'm pretty sure there'd be a good showing.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, you look at, I think Brian Wu had quite a bit of family down there too. It's obviously George Kirby was one of them.
Yep.
They travel, family travels well, especially when it's a historic stadium like that. You get an excuse to see somebody you know.
Yeah, for sure.
It's kind of an interesting question. You collected cards back in 2022. Do you still collect? And if so, who do you collect?
Yeah, I still collect. I like collecting just guys I've played with and guys I've played against. I don't really like go too far outside of that. I just think it'll be cool one day to look back at all the people I played with and, you know, have an autograph or have a card for them and just, you know, show whoever it might be.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just, I kind of do the same thing myself. It's kind of like a yearbook or scrapbook or something where you can kind of look back at who you had a chance. You turn it back, you see the stats and everything. Are you excited for getting your own down the road?
Yeah, I am excited. I don't know when it'll happen. I don't know if it'll happen, but that's something I've always also wanted because I've been interested in cards for a while. Like I've always wanted a Bowman deal or something like that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think the coolest thing is obviously kind of going back to the Yankee Stadium stuff. How cool would it be to get obviously we're just throwing this out here, but debuting in Yankee Stadium and having that be your first card photo ever, just being able to date it back to that, that would be so sick.
That would be full circle. It would be cool.
So you kind of touched on collecting teammates. Who are three of those teammates? Just three.
That's a good question, because I have so many like random teammates. I think I have most of like, I don't know. It's tough. I like the Bryce ones that have just came out. Those are good. I have a lot of minor league guys that I've played with. No, I don't collect too many big leaguers because I haven't played with too many of them. But guys like Cole Young are cool. Harry Ford, you know, those big names in the card world.
It's yeah.
Cool to grab their cards, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it makes it more special if you only have the guys that you know. So the collection is more of just a personal collection rather than just a large mess yeah. It kind of gets to eventually.
Yeah, the card interest for me, it comes and goes, you know, as the season goes. It's like any other hobby, kind of, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It can be an expensive hobby, too, depending on how deep yeah. You go into it. So. So, not a lot of people might know, but you're a really athletic pitcher. So, there's a clip going around, well, years ago. You look up Jimmy Joyce, one of the first clips that comes up is you with a one-handed interception. We talked about your football days. And then, obviously, back in 2022, you had a few very, very athletic plays, just diving at the ball, going for it. Do you kind of, and I think you also had one back in Hofstra, too. Is your goal down the road to win a minor league gold glove or major league gold glove as a pitcher?
I'm not going to say, like, that's the main goal, but I could definitely, like, be on that boat. I would love to do that. That'd be really cool.
You also hit pretty darn good when you're in college too, or high school. Is that do you think you could be a two-way if you wanted to?
No, I realized very quickly that hitting is the toughest thing to do in sports. Like I hit a little bit at Hofstra, but it wasn't good, you know. And then once I got here, I didn't even want to touch a bat because I saw what some of these guys were throwing and I was like, no way.
You don't want to be standing there?
Not in the batter's box. My place is on the mound.
Yeah.
I learned that. I didn't want to give it up for the longest time, but.
I mean, I think I saw you hit 450 or something in your senior year of high school, which is nuts.
Yeah, high school is a different story. High school, I liked to hit in high school, but then college, it got hard, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So kind of going even further on positions, I know a lot of pitchers don't really want to talk about this, but what do you kind of see yourself more as, a starter or a reliever?
I don't know. I think the easier answer for me is a starter, just because it's what I've done my whole life. And it's like where I've been most comfortable and I've had most success. My goal is to stay a starter for as long as they let me. And if, you know, if I can be up there as a starter, that would be ideal. But I will take any opportunity that's given to me. It doesn't matter at the end of the day.
Yeah, I'm sure you've kind of talked about this with other people and stuff like that, but kind of goes back to the whole Brian Wu and Bryce Miller situation, getting called up straight from AA. How cool is it to be an organization that's so pitcher first? You know, it's they trust their homegrown guys, and you see that through like free agency and stuff like that. It's always the homegrown guys that get the chance first. So how reassuring is it kind of seeing that opportunity right in front of you and knowing you'll have a chance to go out there in spring training or something and win that job, if it may be?
Yeah, it's definitely cool. And like last year, I know I wasn't part of the team for long, but the amount of guys that got called up from Arkansas, it just gives guys like me like that extra hope, like, oh man, this is real, you know, like it's very obtainable and it just keeps you on course, keeps you working. You know, it's really cool. And I'm very lucky to be with the Mariners.
And I guess we haven't touched on that at all, but you did join Arkansas during right before their playoff race. How was that experience for you, getting experience playoff baseball? Because you missed Everett because you got promoted, but you did still get to play in the playoffs with Arkansas. And I believe you pitched a few innings there too.
Yeah, that was really cool. Especially because it was also new to me, like just going around the Texas League, going places like, you know, Tulsa to Midland to wherever. It was all an experience and it was all really cool. And the fact that it was playoffs and the championship, like, it was the cherry on top. Just definitely one of the cooler experiences.
Yeah, I mean, and then you get to kind of, yeah, just experience all those different parks and stuff that you don't really get to see. Obviously, the quality up there is a little bit nicer the higher you go up in the minor leagues. Did you have a favorite stadium when you were down there or anything?
Yeah, I will say it's nice to play at our home field, that's for sure. I always like pitching there. One, because you really got to get it to get it out of there. But two, just the environment. It's such a nice stadium, and it's just cool.
Yeah, I think that's a cool thing about Arkansas, too, is if you're a pitcher and you're a good pitcher, you're going to succeed there. Whereas, like, Everett, which is kind of what makes your numbers there even more impressive, that's a hitter-friendly park. So that's another thing for the fans who might be listening. You go back and you look at your numbers in Everett, they stand out a lot more because the park is more of a high school park, smaller. The air, the ocean air, whatever you want to call it, helps the ball carry a little bit more. But compared to Texas, Texas is a lot harder to hit in.
Yeah, definitely Arkansas Stadium out of all of them.
Let's see. So you got the beard going right now, but you've had a few different iterations of facial hair. Is that kind of a superstitious thing?
No, it probably used to be. Like, when I first got the Pro Bowl, I did like to shave before each start. But I don't know. As I've gotten older, it just became what it is, you know, and now I'm rocking with it. And I don't think too much about it, but it just is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, some people are really superstitious and they'll shave it, but...
Yeah, I mean, I'm rocking with it. I'm not that superstitious, but, you know, I had a good year with it last year.
Exactly.
And yeah.
I mean, something's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
Who's on your all-time baseball Mount Rushmore? If you had to choose...
Oh, geez.
It's a hard one.
This is really tough for me. Because, like, I grew up, like, loving guys like Tim Lincecum and Clevinger, kind of like those funky pitchers. I don't know if they're on my Mount Rushmore of baseball, but they're definitely some of my favorites growing up. And obviously, like, grew up a Yankees fan. I loved, like, Mariano Rivera and Jeter and all those. But I don't know. I don't really have a top four. I just respect people for their game and what they've done.
I love that. You mentioned Lincecum. I don't know how involved he is in baseball anymore, but would that be a guy you kind of like to meet if you ever got to the big leagues and debuted in like Seattle or something? Because I know he's from the Washington area, but I don't know how involved he is in baseball anymore.
Yeah, I'm not sure. When I was younger, I loved him. Like, I had an autographed hat and an autographed baseball that, you know, and he was like the freak. So I saw him pitch and I was like, you know, that's what I want. That's cool.
Yeah, his pitching mechanics are so different than anything else. I think I saw a clip of Walter Ford, actually, and a lot of people were saying he looked like Tim Lincecum. So,
yeah, they definitely have similar, like, you know, mechanics and all that.
It's crazy. I mean, you look at it and you're like, how the heck is this dude doing it?
Yeah, I guess it's just what comes kind of natural to them. They're not going to fight that, you know?
Yeah. What are some facts about yourself that not a lot of people know, either the person or the player?
I don't know. I'm not that interesting. I don't know. I love baseball and I love my family. And this is, I don't know. I don't really have too many facts about me.
Your eyes on the prize.
I might be an open book. You could just ask.
Yeah. I mean, you've always kind of seemed like one of those guys who's completely dialed in. And I don't know how guys like you do it, because it can really be tough just either being away from family for that long or just not the uncertainty of it. And that's something that a lot of people who might not really follow minor leagues can't respect to begin with, because they're just like, oh, these dudes are just living the dream. But you guys are away from your family. There's ups, there's downs, especially when you're a lower pick. You really don't know what your future holds. So I think that's the side, the human aspect of it is a lot of what people don't see.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I was talking to someone back home and just saying, like, we're a bunch of normal dudes that just know what they wanted and just went and got it, or, like, you know, worked for it. I mean, there's nothing special or anything, you know. There's some guys with more talent than others, but at the same time, like, everyone's worked for what they've gotten, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, there's always that misconception. You see Jimmy Joyce, Seattle Mariners. You all see those, like, tweets out there. It's like, no, I don't play for the big league team. I'm in the minor leagues. There's a journey to it. It's so different from other sports like the NBA, like the NFL. You got to go through all these levels, and each one is its own test. So it's really difficult.
Yeah, the uncertainty of it is, like, the biggest thing. You could have a great career and never make the big leagues, or anything could happen, you know. So you just got to be grateful for each day you get to go and play baseball. Like, I always think of my why, and that's what drives me. And then I think about how I'm 24 years old playing a kid's game. Like, sounds cliche, but it's all I've ever wanted to do. So it keeps me focused.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing is 24, you're still young. You still got a few good years in front of you in terms of prospect status. But then there's some dudes who are like 30, 40, like 35, I think was how old Drew Maggi or something was for the Pirates. There's so many different ways. And it's almost tougher if you play position player rather than pitcher, because there's so much more competition right there.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, what's there? 13 pitchers on a major league staff, you know, like, opportunities out there.
Yeah. I mean, you never wish for an injury, but you know, the second somebody goes down, you could be the next man up, and you got to be prepared for that.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I feel like we kind of already touched on it indirectly, but if you could give any advice to young baseball players looking to get where you are, what would that advice be?
Pretty much just, you have to believe in yourself. If you don't, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make the strides you want to make. The biggest thing I'd say, like, I tell kids around, like, my hometown is, like, you have to just do something every day. Like, if it's really what you want to do, you have to, you can't stay stagnant. You have to keep 1%, 1%, 1%. And eventually, it may take 2 years for you to get better. It might take 5 or 6. But, like, if you stack like that, you're going to get better eventually, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and everybody's, as we kind of touched on again, I feel like I'm continuously hitting these points. But everybody's journey is different. You could be a first-round pick and never have to worry about anything, essentially, and just kind of float around in the league for years, regardless of who you are, how good you are, just because you are that first-round pick. Or you could be one of those guys that takes forever to climb up, that never gets scouted, that never gets recruited and has to do the JUCO route. But, I mean, as long as you love what you're doing and you're chasing it, you're going to get there.
Yeah, I think there's beauty in both those, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it really builds character and it builds a personality, because it's tough. It's tough. Regardless of what you're looking to do, it's tough.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like that's why minor league baseball is so great in its own way, especially if you're a fan. You really just got to pay attention to some of these stories. You got to see some of these dudes. I remember in 2022, there was some dude in low A with the Angels or something. I think he's like a second round pick or something with, I don't remember, Oakland or something. And he's like 35 or something and still playing. I'm like, that's minor league baseball right there. Yeah. You love the game. You're still chasing it. You're a high pick. You never made it, but you're trying to make it again. And that's the beauty of minor league baseball.
Awesome.
What are some of your biggest goals heading into 2024 and beyond?
Probably the first one is stay healthy, and can't do anything if you're not healthy. Besides that, like, I do want to make every start regardless. That was something in 2022. It was one of my goals, and I was so close. I missed one start towards the end. If I could complete a full season of starts, I just think I'm in a good spot for everything. It gives me a chance, and it means I'm healthy, which is good.
Yeah, I mean, availability is everything. And if you're one of those guys pitching every single day, that there's more chances for somebody to see you, whether it's with the big league club, whether it's with scouting or something like that, they see you pitching every day, they're going to give you that chance. And I think that's great.
Yeah. Another goal, like Arsenal wise, I'm trying to bring in a cutter this year. That'll be exciting. Like the throwing program has just started and all that. So I'm looking forward to adding that in.
Sorry for cutting you off. I'm just lost in thought right now. Is that the same pitch that everybody else is kind of working on in the organization? I know I think Robbie Ray picked it up. I think Kirby picked it up. I think Gilbert picked it up. And I think Bryce is trying that. Is that the same pitch?
I'm not too sure. I know Bryce is adding like a splitter right now.
I think it was a splitter. My bad.
Yeah. I think Kirby added a splitter as well. I think that was more of a splitter for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think the more pitches you got, the better, because that way you just aren't the prototypical one pitch. Not that you are, but some pitchers who only have one pitch, they kind of set themselves up for just being a reliever. So it's great for being a starter.
Yeah, I don't think it could hurt, you know, a different.
Yeah. Life. Yeah, I mean, just kind of mess around with it. You got spring training. How excited are you for spring training?
I'm excited. I can't wait. I feel like I had a really good offseason. I was out here all off season in Arizona working with the physical therapy side of things, like the rehab side of things. And I just feel strong and ready to go.
Do you know if you'll get a chance to pitch in any big league games yet, or is that kind of up in there until basically a few weeks from now?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I wouldn't know. At least this early.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting close. I think I got my little tracker going. It's like 50 days away. So close.
I know. It's creeping up on us.
Yeah, you wouldn't even expect it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, with that, you got anything to say for the Mariner fan base? What can they expect from you if they kind of zoned out or tuned out? What's kind of the Spark Notes version? What's the summary of Jimmy Joyce, and why should they be excited for the future?
I just think I'm excited for the future of the Mariners. And, you know, I hope it all goes well with the Mariners. Like, I would like to stay with them. And there's some really great things going on, and I see them every day when I'm at the facility, and we're just loaded with really good people, and it's going to take us somewhere eventually. You just hang in there, and eventually the fans are going to get what they want, and we'll be like looking about these past whatever 20 years and laughing about it, you know. But I think something big's coming soon, and I hope to be a part of it, and I hope to contribute. And that's all I got.
Yeah, I mean, if they haven't already, if I were you guys watching this, go check Jimmy Joyce out. Because, I mean, your stuff's on the rise. Like you said, if you kind of go deeper, you look at the strikeout numbers, everything like that. If you're a baseball nerd or anything like that, you're going to love Jimmy Joyce's stuff. So just kind of keep an eye on him in 2024. And thank you for joining us.
Of course, David. Thank you for all you do, too. You're the man.
I appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Of course. Have a good one.